All right, so we're halfway home tonight on the Infinity Sports Network. Gresh in for JR tonight, heading into a long weekend where we'll come out of it much closer to the NFL. Apparently, the Micah Parsons introductory press conference in Green Bay got pushed back an hour. I guess Micah's flight was delayed. Hopefully they didn't have him on a regular old flight or something like that. So they're getting that going right now because Andy Herman of Pack-A-Day Pod and the Packer Report, he was scheduled to join us here, but obviously the press conference is going on. I was on Andy's Twitter, and he was tweeting about Parsons being there, so clearly, he's getting some work done, and we hope to catch up with him. But I've really spent a healthy chunk of the first 2 hours kind of just dumping on the Cowboys and Jerry Jones. But, why don't we look at there's a whole other side to this deal. And if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, this must feel like Christmas. All of a sudden, you just wake up and find out that Micah Parsons is now the leader of your defense. You wake up and find out that a team who has normally done a pretty good job of hoarding draft capital, not overspending. They don't have a daddy to run to. They don't have an owner to run to. But when you think about this from the Green Bay Packers end, it's unusual. You know, the last time they made a deal with, what, two first-round picks or a first and a second, It was when they sent Davante Adams to the Raiders when Josh McDaniels was there. So, you can be on both sides of it. But if you're on the Green Bay side, I can't help but feel like this was anything but a steal. This was highway robbery, in my opinion. To only give up two first-round picks and a defensive tackle – good player, all right? Good player, don't get me wrong. But when you look at now the Packers, you have Rashawn Gary, you have Micah Parsons, Devontae Wyatt, Lucas Van Ness, Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, and you got the ability to have Parsons be the guy to really get after a quarterback or get after the quarterback in a division that's got either some good ones or young ones that you can then turn around and take advantage of. You look at J.J. McCarthy. Caleb Williams. I know that, the allegedly great Ben Johnson is down there, but come on. This is a guy who's going to be able to get after some of these quarterbacks, and I'll tell you, that front seven is pretty good. So Andy Berman will hop on at 8:40 p.m. Eastern now. So we have some time to talk about the Green Bay side of this. And I know that when I opened it up before, we had a couple of folks who were more than willing to jump in to talk about the Cowboys. Is it the same in Green Bay? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. And now, my expectations definitely go up for the Green Bay Packers. Here's the thing for me. When Jordan Love threw more than 30 passes in a game, there were normally turnovers attached to it. So can you keep him under 30 throws a game, run the ball enough to be able to score, and let that defense in that front seven with Micah Parsons cook? And I think there is now, that's a checkmate on the defensive side when it comes to facing Minnesota with a young quarterback. I think that's kind of gives you a checkmate on the other side facing a young quarterback in Chicago. And even though I'm not one of those people, there are those who still look at Jared Goff and scoff. So now you got a dude on the other side. Now you have arguably the best defensive player in the division, the best defensive player maybe in football, and a defensive coordinator who is pretty creative and will know how to take advantage of a weapon like that in Jeff Hafley. So for as much as I did feel bad and have some empathy for the situation that Brian Schottenheimer has been put in, which is a really crappy one by his owner and alleged general manager. The general manager is supposed to help the head coach, not hinder the head coach's ability to go out and win. But nevertheless, in looking at it from the Green Bay side, you absolutely had to do it. And you had the money to turn around and make the guy whole. And now I really truly believe, and for as much as I was picking on Cowboy fans earlier and am kind of laughing that your owner is, I mean, starting to lose it a little bit, I just think the people of Green Bay are going to love this guy even more than the people of Dallas did. And I don't know what it is that makes me feel that way. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think in Green Bay, those fans there, they understand that there's no owner to run to. If the Jacksonville Jaguars front office wants to make a plea to Shad Khan, Shad Khan and his patents are worth about $12 billion. So if you're the general manager and you think you're close, you can go make an appeal to the owner and ask the owner to make that short-term cash infusion. In Green Bay, there is none of that. In Green Bay, the budget is a little different. I think in Green Bay, yes, they do things a little differently because they have to. Therefore, I think the fans appreciate moves like this even more. They're normally stingy with draft picks. They're at times tough to negotiate with. They don't operate like every other NFL team. That doesn't mean they still can't be competitive. And the Packers are the one team where we get to look at the books and we get to see sort of what some of the hard numbers are in the NFL, and that's how people do their calculations for valuations and how much money's coming in, how much going out, things like that. But the bottom line is, I really think the people and the fans of Green Bay are going to really, truly appreciate having a stud and a star like Micah Parsons. I am not going to go as far as to say a Reggie White impact in terms of that community, the way Packer fans feel, the ownership of the player, things like that. I don't know if I'm going to go that far, but I think it'd be pretty close. I think Packer fans will very much appreciate the effort of the organization to go get a great player like this to, you know, be the anchor of the defense and one of the anchors of the football team. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to my man Gary in Rocky Top, hauling product across this great country of ours. Gary, you're with Gresh here on the Infinity Sports Network. How are you, friend?
Hey, Grish, I'm great, and it's always great to have you on air there, buddy. All right, now let's talk about this trade from the perspective of a Chicago Bears fan. Oh, my gosh, I'm going to send this trade immediately. Hey, look, they did get away with highway robbery. It was one hell of a deal for the Packers. But there's probably some Vikings fans and some Detroit Lions fans that are like me. They don't like it for, you know, for their own selfish, greedy reasons. But it is a hell of a trade. And I think that maybe Jerry Jones, who's been kicking his fan base around for quite a while, has maybe gone a little bit too far. I think there's going to be a lot of people that were just barely hanging on to the Cowboys bandwagon. Now they're going to get rid of it and say goodbye until they get a new owner. And by the way, he's not going to live forever. At some point, he's going to pass away like we all do. So what's going to happen with that team then? And I'll let you go with that there, Chris. Thank you, buddy.
Gary, it then goes to Stephen Jones, who has only learned under his father. Now, maybe Stephen Jones is sitting there saying, yeah, I would never do this. But he can't come out and say it. He can't come out and change the perception that he's not all a part of this under dear old dad. And that he is feckless in terms of stopping dad from doing things like this. That's going to be the hard thing for Stephen Jones. It's going to be the, well, you've been, you know, sitting there beside your dad doing all this crazy stuff and you never stopped him, so I guess you're going to do the same thing. Now, in terms of the, you know, the other teams in the NFC North, yeah, this is not good news. This is especially for Chicago, trying to rebuild their offensive line, where I'm sure there'll be some lumps there. All it takes is for a tackle to, you know, just roll an ankle, and the next thing you know, Micah Parsons gets three sacks against a backup, and you have a guy who is now just supremely talented enough that if you have to play a tackle at some point who is a clear backup and a number three, Micah Parsons is going to have a chance to eat that guy up. So 100% absolutely, if you're in the NFC North, this is a bad day. And in fact, I think a lot of teams' fans might be looking around and saying, wait a minute, couldn't we have given up something better to be able to go get this guy? That's one of the things that I would really like to know about from the Green Bay and the Jerry Jones end. Because when they put Micah Parsons on a plane to go get his back looked at or whatever, I would have to assume that at that point, the framework of a deal was in place and they were checking Micah Parsons for what they needed to be able to facilitate getting the rest of that deal done. But if you're Green Bay, and you get the guy for this year and you get him for next year to be able to push the value of that draft pick down deeper into the deep 20s, if not the early 30s, when it comes to that first round pick and it being sent to Dallas. Oh my word. Like, that's the other thing about Jerry Jones. If he knew there was a chance to do this, or if it was maybe going to come to this, then doing it before the draft gets you so much more value from the player than doing it right now where people do know you're up against it. Now, I mean, am I going to sit here and believe that the Green Bay Packers were the team that put in the best deal, and that's why Jerry Jones went with it? I don't know. I'm not buying that. I'm more along the line of Jerry Jones just went and did business with somebody and felt like he got what he wanted, and he pulled the trigger on the deal. Because I would believe, with the ability to trade three first-round picks, that somebody would have topped the offer of Green Bay. That somebody, somewhere, would have come along and said, Yeah, I'll give you three ones and a sweetener for a player or whatever. It's Micah Parsons. And it'd be a hell of a lot easier to do that at the draft than it would be, you know, trading him off before the season started. But such is Jerry, and now if you're Green Bay, you're loving life right now. Now if you're Green Bay, you're thinking, holy crap, if we can keep Love and Parsons upright, we might have a real chance. And you know what? Green Bay just might. I was not big on their chances going into the year. I thought the Green Bay was probably a 7-seed wild card team. Now, with what I saw in the preseason from Detroit, I've got to wonder if Green Bay has the ability to play their way up past Chicago and Minnesota, who are playing with those young QBs, and maybe they're the ones that are the real challengers to Detroit if Detroit's going to have some issues, of course, after the transition with the both offensive and defensive coordinators and some other coaching depth left as well. That's a big, big to-do for Dan Campbell to kind of hold that thing together. So maybe Green Bay felt good watching whatever was going on with Detroit and saying, you know what? Now, it also might just be Brian Gutekunst saying, hey, this is a shrewd football move. I'm going to trade a defensive tackle who we like, but, you know, is not completely necessary, and turn around and go get Micah Parsons. Pretty amazing when you think about it. But, man, if you're in Green Bay, my God, what a time to be alive. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We will go to Green Bay this hour. Micah Parsons is having his press conference right now. Andy Harmon, who covers the Packers, will be with me at 8:40 Eastern time tonight here on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Gresh.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Apparently, Micah Parsons has just got done addressing the group of media people out in Green Bay. We're hopeful in the far too distant future. Andy Herman of Packaday Podcast, and he's a writer for Packer Report as well. Packer Report 66, they call it. So hopefully he's there to kind of break everything down for us. But I got to tell you, if you're in Green Bay, like, allow yourself to love it. Allow yourself to dream about maybe this is the year that maybe, just maybe, we can make a Super Bowl. And, you know, your team is going for it. Micah Parsons, by the way, announced that he will be wearing number 1 for the Cowboys. I'm going to say that'll be the number 1 seller through Labor Day weekend. Micah Parsons, number 1 in the Green Bay Packers jersey. Now, I'll give Micah Parsons credit. He and his team did put up something saying, thank you, Dallas, go Pack, go. It was a little video. Obviously, I didn't have a chance to be able to listen to it, just kind of catching it right now. But, I mean, when you really think about it, it is a player and 2 first-round picks. The whole Herschel Walker trade comparisons, that is egomaniac Jerry Jones trying to he's trying to gaslight you into making you think that this is okay. This is a guy who still argues with Jimmy Johnson about who even made the Herschel Walker trade, for God's sakes. And Adam Schefter even put here, new Packers linebacker Micah Parsons is one of 2 NFL players to have at least 12 sacks in each of his first four seasons. The other, Reggie White. I mean, it's just amazing. Like, did Jerry Jones really get that, did get his nose that out of joint over an agent? I mean, really? See, I'm trying to think of this almost like, for as giddy as Packers fans could and should be, when I think of it on the other end, it's the what are the acceptable excuses or reasons in which this could happen? And I just don't know if there is anything acceptable other than Jerry Jones standing up there and saying, my ego got in the way. I thought I had to deal with him. I ain't dealing with no dadgum agent. And that's why I traded him. Other than that, you cannot come up with reason or justification to do this. Now, here's a question for you, okay? And I resisted going down this road. I know we're hopefully going to Green Bay coming up next, but I want you to think about this because I know we're going to have a guest on from Dallas at 9 o'clock, and then we'll have the whole rest of the hour. What is the bigger shock, trading Luka Doncic or trading Micah Parsons? Because I'll admit, when I found out about this yesterday, you know, when the news started to break of this, or it all went down yesterday, like I was taking a nap and I woke up and then I see, you know, this hullabaloo about Parsons being traded. And I'm like, oh my God, it really happened. I can't believe it. And then you start to think about how these are eerily similar. And I don't know, maybe you have in the audience and I missed it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Did Jerry shop Micah Parsons around? Or was it short conversations? Green Bay gave him what he wanted. They wanted to go to Green Bay. And I don't know, maybe we find out the agent was more a part of this. Now that this got done and that Jerry, you know, and that Jerry apparently didn't want to deal with the agent. The agent didn't want to deal with him. So did it become, hey, Mr. Agent, go find the deal we're looking for? Did Jerry handle it personally? I don't know. But I'll tell you this. If it did go down that way, that's very Nico Harrison-like. And I understand the argument on the other side of when it's players this big and names this big, you don't want sort of the news getting out there, right? But you still have to go out and get your best deal. So for high-end players, why wouldn't you shop them? I don't know. To me, there definitely is a little bit of a Luka type feel to this, sort of comes out of nowhere. We thought eventually that Jerry Jones was just going to cave in and give Micah Parsons the money that he wanted. And apparently he drew the line in the sand. And if you're Green Bay, my God, you're like a puppy with two Peters right now, I'll tell you. It is streaking naked across the quad in Green Bay because Micah Parsons is there and has arrived. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to see the stupid, I'm a pissed off Cowboy fan, so I'm going to throw all of my Cowboy stuff in a barrel and light it on fire. I don't know if we're going to get any of those, but Cowboy fans, you don't have a season this year. You don't have a season this year. It's like having a nice car and you get a nail in the tire, and one of the tires got flat. You look nice. You look good on paper. You're a shiny star, but you got one tire that don't work, and you ain't going anywhere for a while, unfortunately. And I'm sure that Cowboy fans are now more and more starting to realize that. I think they're more and more now starting to realize, well, this is going to be a waste of a year. Because you took away the guys, you took away the best defensive player. And they're going to go out there and rally and go win 10 games, which was arguably a stretch to do with Micah Parsons on that roster. It's crazy. It really is. So if you're Green Bay, you probably advanced another round by acquiring this player. And if you're Dallas, you guaranteed you are not making the playoffs. Andy Herman covers the Packers up in Green Bay. He is scheduled to join me next. Let's get updated on everything in the world of sports. Here's Pete McCarthy.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Gresh.
So I've been all over the Cowboys tonight and their fans and Jerry Jones and his ego run amok. And then there's the other side of things. Let's go to Giddy Green Bay. Joining me now, he is the owner of Pack-A-Day Podcast and a writer for Packer Report 66. Andy Herman is with Gresh here on the Infinity Sports Network. Andy, does it feel like Christmas?
It definitely does have a little bit of that feel to it in Green Bay. Just got out of the Micah Parsons press conference. And, obviously a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement. Fans certainly in Green Bay are giddy, and we've been here before, you know, not obviously maybe with a trade in this situation, but we've seen Reggie White come to town. We've seen Charles Woodson come to town, and we've seen what both of those things have led to eventually. So there's a lot of expectations. I asked Micah that directly in the press conference today. He's well aware of what, you know, two first round picks and a premium player and a huge contract means, and is sort of internalizing those expectations and is ready to make a big impact in Green Bay. So yeah, very, very excited town right now.
Andy, were you expecting this? Like, when you woke up yesterday, was it on the old proverbial bingo card that, boy, the Packers are going to go make an unprecedented move today?
Yeah, the interesting thing is, so I'm not somebody who I'm not an insider. I don't have sources within agents and organizations. That's not sort of my role that I play. But I had a lot of people on a variety of different walks of life within the sports scene, within random scenes, like everything. There was a ton of buzz around this thing. You didn't really know what to take as real and what was kind of just fake and hearsay, but there was more than I'd ever seen on anything before yesterday. And all of that being said, even despite that, this is a general manager in Brian Gutekunst who worships at the altar of draft picks and does not like making, you know, these big substantial moves for anything for one particular player. He's obviously signed guys like Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, and Za'Darius Smith in the past. So it's not like he's prone to doing things like that, but trading two first round picks is almost sacrilegious for him. So when you start talking about trading two first round picks and maybe a player or two and giving the biggest defensive contract in football for one particular player, no, I did not have that on my bingo card for something. Even with all the buzz that was out there, even all the stuff that I saw, I still did not know that Brian Gutekunst would ultimately pull the trigger on that type of deal. And just the way these things go, like we saw with Trey Hendrickson, amongst others, usually at the very end, everyone comes together, you sign your contract, all is said and done, and there's no trade in the end anyway. But yesterday it did happen, and no, did not see that one coming.
Andy, do you kind of view this as right player, right time to assume this kind of risk? Or was there maybe some outside of the organization fan pressure grumbling that the organization hasn't made a big splash?
No, I think it was the right set of circumstance, the right player at the right time for the right reasons is probably the biggest thing here. You know, the 2025, when Aaron originally got traded, the year that I put out there, just personally, and what I talked about a lot is keep an eye on 2025. Same thing with the Davante Adams stuff. They got all those extra draft picks for Aaron and Davante, and they were really going to have a lot of these players that were going to be kind of in the prime of their career on their first contracts, you know, in years three, year four, where they didn't really lose any of these young players yet. In 2025, they should have theoretically finally been done with that Aaron Rodgers and Davante contracts, the Bakhtiari contracts, all those crazy dead cap hits that they had to accrue. And you looked at it and you're just like, they're going to have money to spend. They're going to have a whole draft class. They're not going to lose any of their young players yet. And that's the year that I looked at and said, that's when the window is open widest. And then you got the free agency and you saw Aaron Banks and Nate Hobbs. And you're like, all right, those are fine signings, but it didn't really move the needle. And it felt like there was a little bit more. And then you get Matthew Golden in the draft. And then of course the cherry on top with Micah Parsons for two future first round picks and Kenny Clark. And now it feels like everything came together. That was the right player to go after in this reason. Before you get to some of these crazier cap hits with some of the players, the window's open now, and I think Goody certainly sensed that.
Andy, is there enough depth on the roster to cover Clark being sent to Dallas in this deal?
I think that's one of the big remaining questions for this year. There's going to be bigger questions down the road when some of those salary cap, you know, hits do come to fruition, and you're going to have to just make some decisions and some choices. But for this year, right now, defensive tackle, kind of all eyes on that. Kenny Clark is gone. They still have five guys on the roster, so they had six prior to trading away Kenny. Devontae Wyatt, they picked up his fifth-year option for next year already. They really like him, former first-round pick. Then every single time Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator, has been asked about this defensive tackle room, he has been effusive in his praise. Obviously, Goody and Matt LaFleur got asked about it again today as well, and they were also very optimistic about young players like Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, who completely remade his body this offseason, and then two rookies, sixth-round pick Warren Brinson and undrafted free agent rookie Nasir Stackhouse, both of them from the University of Georgia. They're very happy with that group, but they're going to have to go out and prove it. For the most part, that's a relatively unproven group overall.
So who benefits within this existing defense the most, Andy, by having Micah Parsons now be a part of it?
Yeah, he's a force multiplier, and I could probably give you just about every name on defense, but there's no question to me the 1A player that benefits the most is Rashawn Gary. Rashawn Gary's been one of the most double-teamed and chipped players in the NFL over the course of his time in Green Bay, or certainly since he kind of broke out a few years ago. And now, as Matt LaFleur said today, you're going to have to choose. Do you want to double-team Rashawn, or do you want to double-team Micah? I think we all kind of know where that's going to go. Micah's going to get a ton of the attention from every single opposing offense. And for the first time in a while, you're going to see Rashawn Gary get a ton of one-on-one opportunities. And if he can make the most of that, in I think it was 2021, he had over 80 pressures in a season. Last year, he was down in the 40s. If all of a sudden you double, you know, Rashawn Gary's pressure production because you've got Mike on the other side, that's going to be a huge win. And he has every opportunity in the world to go out and prove that he can be a top defensive end with Micah Parsons across from him.
Andy, I'm curious from what you followed and even saw at training camp this year relative to Jordan Love. I know from watching afar, when the throws got over 30, that's where the interception started to show up. So where are we in terms of the development of Love, people accepting him for the quarterback that he is, and has this guy sort of reached the peak? Do we know what Jordan Love is as a quarterback, in your opinion?
To me, this is sort of the ultimate defining season, because if you go back to 2023, I think most people don't remember that first half of 2023 at the trade deadline, they were a bad team. They traded away Rasul Douglas, and Brian Gutekunst was pretty adamant in that press conference that the second half of that season was going to be really important for Jordan, basically intimating that they had not made a decision if he was going to be the franchise quarterback yet, and they needed to kind of see it in the second half of the season. They had not given him that contract extension yet. And then in the second half of that season, he just goes absolutely bananas and has one of the best second halves of the season that you could possibly imagine. And then you come back next year, and which is obviously last year, and you're expecting, all right, that's going to be the Jordan that takes over. And then immediately, very first game, end of it, you've got that MCL injury, which clearly affects him. He misses some time, not ready. Probably when he came back, a little bit too early. A few weeks later, gets a groin injury. The end of the season, gets a hand injury. Like, he just was snake bit last year with injuries. And I really felt like it sort of stopped us from being able to define exactly who he is as a quarterback. This is year three as a starter, year six in the NFL. And I do believe if he's healthy this year, this Jordan Love that you see will ultimately define him. It might be some years that are a little better, a little worse from here on out, but I think this is the Jordan Love that you're basically going to get for the remainder of his career. And I still think this is going to be really good, but I think he's going to have to go out and prove it on a consistent basis. He was good in camp, obviously had that injury on his left hand that he had to have surgery for, missed a little bit of time, but he's going to be good to go for week one, is already practicing, taking snaps and everything like that. So this first game against Detroit obviously has a ton of intrigue to it.
Yeah, Andy, I know that you talk to a lot of fans. You kind of represent fans here in Green Bay. So I know you're a fan, but the more I listen to you, the more I hear that you're fair and balanced. So I'm curious, how do you see the NFC North this year?
Yeah. And again, I think that's one of the reasons why that first game is so interesting. But at the top of it, it's still to me Detroit and Green Bay. As you saw, the line move after Micah Parsons comes,
yep.
They're even pretty much between those two teams. I think that's a totally fair evaluation of where they're both at. And I think it's going to be a really fun competition between those two. But man, you have two really interesting lottery tickets in the NFC North right now, and J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams, and what those two potentially become. If all of a sudden those two are as advertised, you know, top 10 picks, obviously Caleb number one overall, and they become exactly what they were promised to be, this division gets really intense for a really long period of time. And on the flip side, if McCarthy and Caleb just aren't as advertised and they have to start over, this might be Green Bay and Detroit fighting over this division for a while too. So there's a lot of intrigue in this division. I think week one, you get all of it. You get Detroit versus Green Bay as kind of the headline on Sunday. Then Monday Night Football, you get Chicago, Minnesota. We get to see Caleb Williams in this Ben Johnson offense. You get to see J.J. McCarthy the first time as a starter. It's a really intriguing NFC North, and we're going to get a real good taste of it week one.
How quickly can they get the Parsons 1 jerseys in the pro shop there at Packertown?
Yeah, they're going to be there soon, and they're going to sell out as soon as they're in there, would be my guess. Crazy thing, you know, nobody's had number one in Green Bay since Curly Lambeau's had it. It's not a retired jersey. It's sort of been an unofficially retired jersey. They've never given it to anybody outside of Curly Lambeau. And apparently now Micah Parsons is going to be wearing it. So nobody in our lifetime, and like in a long time, has had any reason to have a number one jersey, because Curly Lambeau's been the only one to wear it. This will be very interesting to see somebody else, in this case with Micah Parsons, and understandably so, why you'd maybe be willing to make an exception for that type of player.
I like it. And if you're a Green Bay fan, you have to love it. I mean, you woke up yesterday, and now you have one of the best defensive players in football playing for your team. This is a great chat, ton of fun. Andy Herman, he is the owner of Packaday Podcast, which is a Twitter handle, and a writer for Packer Report 66, which is also a Twitter handle. You can follow Andy at Andy Herman NFL. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it. Great breakdown. Appreciate it. Talk to you soon. Have fun.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I mean, if you're in Green Bay, my God. My God. And the whole, you know, number one Curly Lambeau thing. Oh, yeah. That's going to do big business. Big business. And it should. It's pretty cool, I got to say. It really is like Christmas morning if you're a Green Bay Packer fan. I've been through this a little bit. In my time of covering the New England Patriots, and I know it's not exactly the same, so don't get me wrong, but when you had the thought of Tom Brady being paired with Randy Moss, and I know it was much more of a value-based ad for Bill Belichick, but what you got was the best wide receiver in the NFL for 3 years. And I do believe it was a fourth-round pick that went for a guy like Moss, and then you put him with a guy like Tom Brady, and you see greatness. It's the feeling of getting the guy who is a planet player. You know what I mean by that? Like, when you look at certain people, you know that, okay, there might be others like him, but there's not others like that guy. Like, I always tell people all the time, people who like to laugh at pro wrestling, and then I say, go look at Brock Lesnar and see if that guy's fake. He'd stretch you and stick your big toe in your hind end and laugh while doing it. Like, there are just certain people that are one of one. Micah Parsons in the NFL has proven he is one of one. And if you're Jeff Hapley and you're Green Bay, you want to support this guy. You want him to know he's loved here. And then you want to turn him loose. Turn him loose. What does Green Bay have to lose to look at Micah Parsons and say, yeah, you're gonna be our Lawrence Taylor. You're going to be the wrecker. You're going to be the guy that we are going to rotate everything off of. You're the guy who is the – you're the it's an old reference, but I was going to say you are the center square. You are the most important player on defense. Now go out there and play like it. And that's what I think Micah Parsons can do. The just the part of this that blows me away, this guy's like 25, 26 years old. This guy's in his mid-20s. This is not a player getting a second contract. This is not a player who is looking for a handout. This is a guy who is straight up in his prime. It's pretty pretty amazing when you think about it. Said Youssef of The Athletic is going to join me next, and we'll dig in a little deeper on the Cowboys side of things. I'm Gresh for JR.